Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Fly Cool Shit powered by Lyft Aviation. I'm Mark.
I'm Jeff. I'm at the airport.
I think I can hear an airplane.
Yeah.
Airplane. You should send a noise complaint.
Oh my God, I should. That's not a bad idea.
My favorite thing has been reading Livermore Airport sends out a monthly like agenda, right? For like the meeting, the airport meetings, and
oh, cool.
they include the noise complaints. So like they break down a spreadsheet of like, you know, the type of airplane. They do all kinds of breakdowns, but like they'll filter it by like, okay, like we had, you know, 27 jets, were they takeoffs or landings? What kind were they? Airplanes were like, you know, single engine GA, twin engine, like they kind of have like all these, you know, different categories, daytime, nighttime. And then they actually, you can read the complaints. And I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. It's been a while, but there's this one guy who lives off the departure end of the small runway, at my home airport. And he complains, I want to say it might be 20 times a day, every day, 7 days a week. Wow. Every single airplane that takes off, he flight awares it and complains.
What dedication. That's
all he does. I know. No, literally, I should, like, we should give him a medal or something. Like, invite him to the meeting. Tell us about your most exciting noise complaint.
Yeah. Where did the plane touch you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's funny because you'll read, the comments will be like, I'm such a narcissistic asshole. I'm like, I hope I'm, you know, in the complaints, and our airplane wasn't, but a couple times there'd be like a Pitts or the Giles. We have a G202 on the field, a couple of them actually, cool. But a couple noisy aerobatic airplanes, you know, but it'll be like noisy yellow airplane flew over my house. There's schools and hospitals nearby. The noise affects schools and hospitals and children and elderly. There's absolutely no reason for an airplane to be over this area. Why are they circling? Why are they turning over my house? There's no reason for this. You just read these comments, you're just like, what that's is awesome. This? It's so funny.
He's got a point.
You know, there's no reason for people to be turning over his house. That's no, true. Stop doing never. It, guys. Just stop doing it. No, literally, I was talking to a couple people at the airport. Like, should we aim for his house? Just aim right over his house. We'll get you.
Best thing you could do is like just go right over his house and then do like a sharp turn right over it, just so it, you know, adjusts the prop and gives that nice little snap.
No. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. How's the weather in on the East Coast today?
That's not bad. We got like mid 60s. It's going to get kind of crummy a little later. And then I think this weekend should be nice.
Nice.
But yeah, my plane's still in Tennessee.
How long are you going to keep it there?
I think I might go out next week, go fly it, and then bring it back, do some training here. Whatchamacallit. And, you know, now that the weather's warm here, I can fly more often, which is nice. And, yeah. But I think it was definitely worth keeping there.
That was a smart move.
Yeah, I think so. It's not too far away. It's about a 4.5 hour flight. So, two stopper. So uncomfortable though. Flying that airplane is so uncomfortable flying cross country.
Yeah. there's just no getting around it.
Do you want to fly it back for me?
Sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that to you. I think I'm going to do the race car seat soon, though.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I think
AJ's so. AJ's big on that, right? Actually, a lot of people are, huh?
Yeah, a bunch of people are. It's super tight in there, especially with the helmet. And I got to make sure that my head clearance will be good. And it's worth it. It's a little expensive. It's like $300-ish, $400-ish. Dollars for the kit, maybe $250, I forget, but definitely a couple $100.
It's not too bad. And it's like foam.
No, it's not.
Expandable, yeah, foam kind of thing.
Yeah. So I'll give it a go. I got the my seat belts are finally getting broken in, the new hookers with the nice pads. So definitely a good choice with that.
Once those get broken in, there's nothing better.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of changing a stick grip. Extra's got this ergonomic grip that comes with most of them, but I think I'm going to go to like a classical, you know, straight up and down stick grip. I call it like a bicycle grip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, doing that, still training my buddy in his LT. Another guy might be getting into a 300L, which is nice. So a lot of aerobatics happening over here. I do have breaking news, but I can't release it yet. But something about Long Island and some aerobatic pilots coming here. Maybe we'll get them on the podcast and make the announcement.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It
took me a second. I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Yeah. Exciting though, right?
Yeah. To heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters. I mean, we should just tell them. Francois Lavat is moving into my basement apartment. And some aerobatic pilots coming to Long Island, and a lot of growth here. Got a couple Super D guys flying now, and yeah, a lot of aerobatics. I got to find a box, kind of near Long Island. I mean, it's impossible to get one on Long Island because of all the noise complaints and people that don't like aviation. But I'm trying to see something, maybe Jersey, Connecticut, or a little bit up by like Orange, New York, you know, somewhere there where it's maybe 60 miles, 70 miles away. That's not too bad. It's about a half hour-ish of a flight. But somewhere, I mean, with these new pilots coming, you go as a group, it's definitely better. When you're solo, it sucks. Like when you're the lone wolf, it's hard to get motivated sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of exciting things happening here. They got a team camp this week. I actually had to bail on it. I had a little bit of a work hiccup, but Coco's not there. He had a conflict with something that he just couldn't make it. So I think Rob and AJ are there, flying around a little bit. And then there's another camp in June, and then the deadline to commit to Worlds is June 30th. So I was actually looking at the news last night and, just Googling around Zamosk and stuff like that. And Russia actually bombed, I'm trying to pull it up here, Lviv, which like 25, it's about 40 miles away from Gotessa.
Oh boy.
You know, but it's no big, it's not in Poland. It was still in Ukraine. So that was interesting.
That's crazy.
So that's got me thinking a little bit, to be honest. Plus, you know, I don't, you know, unlimited is just with all the new stuff, and you know what they say, unlimited, but
unlimited.
Yeah. So I gotta keep learning all the stuff. So it's gonna take a little bit to learn all the stuff. So I don't know if it's necessarily worth going and not knowing everything and flying a Worlds, right?
Yeah. Well,
too much sense.
It's an interesting topic of debate. And you know, you and I were talking offline a little bit about it, and it's just interesting. I understand both sides of it. I can understand why somebody would take either position in terms of, you know, the rule changes and the arguments with regard to unlimited and you know.
I like that they got away. I like the changes for nationals as a whole. I do. I think, and I spoke to some people about this, I think the difficulty is going to be with the free so basically at nationals, for advanced, they're going to do either the known or the free unknown. I think that's up to the CD, but it's the known or the free unknown. And then they're going to do, I should have it up. I sent it to you, I thought. But basically, a free an unknown and a free unknown. Right? Does that make sense? Sound like...
Yep.
Just pulling up. Anyway, so then for unlimited, It's a free known, no freestyle, and then two free unknowns. And the free known is great because you kind of design it to what you like, which is nice. I'm all for it. And the free unknowns, again, there's a lot of pluses and some negatives. The negatives that I have with it is for somebody new to category or just inexperienced, is picking the right figure. So like if you know, there's only 10 people in the category and, you know, they're going to select, what is it? 8 figures. I'm just trying to get up here. For free unknown 2, free unknown 1. Anyway, so my point is that when you get down to the bottom of the pack, the people that, you know, flew however, how are them picking a figure? Is it going to be a stupid figure where it's not going to make the sequence work right? Is it going to help this, you know? So I think there's ways to, at that point where you can kind of, it kind of sucks for the more experienced pilots that inexperienced pilot's going to pick, say, a not so good figure. So I hope that there's some type of like, mentorship with that.
I guess that's the total other side of the coin that we haven't really talked about. You know, we didn't really talk about that with Marco, and that, you know, that's a good point of picking these figures that flow well together, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you're going to have the top 4 or top 3. Like in our case, last Nationals, there was, you know, it was Rob, Bourbon, Robin Bourbon and Gifford. But, you know, those guys are going for a championship and they want to win. So, you know, the 2000K figures are definitely going to be there. So that's going to be fun for me and you know, a lot of people new to the category. You know, it's just, and then you just got to learn it. So yeah, and again, back to WAC and Nationals stuff, you know, all these, the knife edge flicks, the flicks, the tail slides, and you know, it takes a lot of time to work on that. So it's a journey, right? It's fucking, I don't even know if it's a journey. It's a
marathon. I don't know what it is more than that.
Yeah. Marathon. It's a Mars trip. It's a trip on the space shuttle, something.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But it'll be fun. I think people are a lot of, very excited for it. I tell you, I'm really stoked for the West Coast. California has just got a lot of action. And I did see
a post. Doing it.
I'm friends with Johnny O, who's one of my favorite people to watch, is just getting done with the camp. He's going to fly to Texas contest. And it seems, and hopefully comes to Nationals because he would kick ass.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about him. It's so funny. I had a dream about flying a Pitts S2C again. I haven't flown any Pitts in years, but I haven't flown S2C in a long time. But he popped in my head. I've been thinking about these Pitts practitioners, and are they going to switch? What are they doing? You know, you and I were talking a little bit offline about this with Advanced and Unlimited. And I think the reality is coming down, whether people want to admit it or not, that these biplanes are just not only are they less and less competitive as the years go on in terms of the category, but we've reached the limit. And then some. I mean, I just don't see how these airplanes, if anybody's flying these airplanes at a higher level, they're really, really handicapped by the airplane.
Yeah, I think I got to reach out to Johnny and see if he wants, because I remember back in, 2018-ish or 19 or whatever, the Note came out and he was flying the S1T with it. And, you know, it was work. So I wonder how this sequence pairs with it, especially after going to Ashland. We just had that camp, so I wonder how it's gonna do.
Yeah,
but it's interesting. I mean, I love watching pizzas and biplanes and all that shit. So hope to see more of the contest.
I love watching them too. Like that's the hard part. I made a comment with Marco last podcast. You know, because obviously he changed airplanes and he evolved through the categories with, you know, 3 airplanes, basically the S1, the Laser, and now the Souk. And I think we're seeing a lot of move, a lot of people move into composite monoplanes in the lower categories earlier. They're starting off in these airplanes. And that's a debate for, you know, a different topic of discussion, whether that's smart or not. But, you know, buying a $225,000 Super Decathlon or get a used 300L. I mean, you know, it's like, it's a no brainer for somebody that wants some longevity in the sport and maybe wants to go through a couple categories and not just be limited. But, you know, who's coming into the sport and is like, it's not even, you know, we talked years ago, like, you know, going back to Matt Chapman, right? Being able to buy an S1 kit, build it in your garage for peanuts and go compete. Those days are, not only are those days gone, but the days of sourcing an S1 to compete, I think I've seen the evolution of that in just in the last 10 years where people were buying S1s and they were competitive and you could go out and really, really do it. The regional level is still for the most part, you can in maybe up in, you know, through intermediate. But if you have like kind of national aspirations, is anybody buying an S1 now? Is anybody looking to buy an S1 now? I don't know.
Yeah,
you don't see a whole lot of them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I think that, you know, if that's the case, which, you know, I think there's definitely a lot of truth to that. I think that all this debate and category and whatever you want to call it, it just makes it more, hopefully you vote more, you know, you vote your representative in, you know, people get more involved, say within the organization for rule changes, people submit sequences more. Like that's the thing is, you know, everybody can hoot and holler all they want, but there's nobody's really submitting the sequences into for proposals. So I think hopefully maybe this gets people more involved to speak on their thoughts, you know, propose rule changes, propose sequences, you know, a vote on members that they think, you know, that shared our viewpoint and the direction that they want to go with, say, an organization. Because at the end of the day, it's tough hearing people complain when there was an opportunity or a floor to submit, you know, proposals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I think what I'd like to see hopefully happen is people getting more involved and submitting these things. And now with technology and the internet and stuff, I mean, look how powerful it was with the Facebook thing in the magazine. Everybody kind of flipped out with it going digital, and then they listened and they
switched it.
Yeah. So, I mean,
didn't talk about that. That's a kind of a big move, right?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think that some people communicated it in a aggressive manner. It didn't need to be like that.
No, people really like pitchforked it. I mean, it was just like, yeah, you know,
a little bit
super offended. It's like, guys, you know,
there's a diplomatic way to approach it. But, you know, I think it's just it's funny because, you know, it's a digital format and they're speaking in a digital way to get something non-digital, but they were heard. So that proves the point that like the IC is listening and it's okay. I think it's okay to have a difference of opinion, but they have to know what that is in order for them to try to adapt change or try to make it work for everybody as best as possible.
Well, in human nature, you know, like we, you know, I know Jim has like preached from the mountaintops about participation and involvement. So is Rob. It's been an ongoing thing for years, right? And that's probably the hardest thing. You know, you get memberships, you get return members, you know, memberships drop off, participation drops off. However, getting involvement, engagement in the organization, I think is probably something that's just extremely hard. And I'm so curious what their engagement levels are, but what tends to be, maybe it's human nature, maybe it's just pilots being curmudgeons, but like, you know, someone will ask them like, hey, if you don't like it, submit a rule change or submit a question or submit feedback. And it doesn't really happen until the ISC just decides to make a change. And then the pitchforks come out.
Listen. But I think it's getting better though. And I think,
so too.
you know, for the most part, the leadership is, I don't think that they're set in their ways. I think, you know, they're doing what they think is best, obviously. But if they don't hear, then, you know, you kind of can't bitch and moan if you don't like it. You gotta, I hope that people talk more and it's a little bit more, communicative and, for lack of a better term, friendly. Cause
yeah,
I mean, the last Nationals that Chad ran, everybody, there was not a scent of negativity in the air, at least from what I saw. I think everybody was on board with having fun, you know, flying it. And yeah, there was no bad vibes there. And, it was a real pleasure to be at. And honestly, like I wouldn't say go as far as saying that's a large part, but that's a big portion of why I'm going back is because of what Chad did. I mean,
I love that. I love hearing
and
that.
Obviously, like, he surrounded himself with great people, you know, the registrar, with, Marianne, right? Chris Rudd's wife. Oh, gosh, am I saying right? Because I love her to death. I hope I'm not getting it wrong. I would really be upset.
I think that's her name.
Mary Beth.
That's what, okay. Yeah, I was like, sorry. Sounds familiar.
She's phenomenal. Alice is phenomenal there. The judge, I can't go on enough about how great it was. And I'm really hoping that a lot of the West Coast crew comes out. I'm hoping that people that haven't been to a Nationals that are maybe a little timid to go or don't know. I hope they go, because it was really a great, great contest. It was a lot of fun.
I love hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I really do.
And you're going to be there. So
that's the plan. I'm going to bid it off, the schedule, and that's the plan. I had a blast being there. I had a blast being there. Just being there. It was fun.
And I gotta be honest. I enjoyed that commentating that we did. I mean, I get
me too.
Yeah. You see, but if you do show up, we should, I mean, there's enough tech heads there to figure out the Wi-Fi situation, but I'd love what do we call it?
Like commentate on flights. Shit.
Yeah, and like have a special guest and stuff like that. I thought we did well with like David Martin, Goulian was there. I thought it was good.
So much fun.
Yeah, we got a lot of good feedback too. So we'll just have to do it on a different channel. And look what we did we're gonna keep talking about him until we get him on the show, but look what we did for Diet Mike. I mean, did we take full credit for his his partnership? I mean, his employment at Goulian?
Absolutely.
At Geneva Olive Oil? What was the Godfather's company? Genco Olive Oil. The Don selling olive oil out of the 18-wheeler at air shows.
Oh my god.
Maybe that's what he puts in his hair to make it look so good.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's on the Flying cover of Flying Magazine.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
He's so cool.
Everybody's so cool. He's a badass. He's the best.
I mean, yeah, and then there's so many great airshow pilots that would be great to have at a contest, and just maybe we could do like I'm sorry to repeat a million times over we talk about this, but do like a GoFundMe to do a prize purse for them. But Goulian, Chapman, Wagstaff, Chambliss, and then put them in. You know, Chapman will bring his Bucher that he just built out.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, that he just bought. And just put them all in, you know, whatever airplane and whatever, you know, intermediate or less category. So it's fun for them, you know, and just let them have at it. You know, it'd be a lot of fun.
I think that'd be so much fun to watch.
What do you think it would take to get, like, what do you think the magic number is? We'd have all their expenses would have to be paid, but what would the prize purse after that have to be?
I don't know.
Thinking like $5,000,
probably more.
You think more? Oh, wow. I thought I was starting high.
I don't know. I just don't know. You know, there's an element where, like,
we should ask them.
Does anything move the needle? Yeah, like, is Patty Wagstaff going to come out and, like, what would she come out
for? I think she would. Right? She just bought an SC. I mean, I think she's still into it. And I think she would really enjoy it.
I think Goulian could rip
Dave Martin.
I mean, Dave's still going to be
Hubie Tolson.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I think he just flew his last.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. Or is it this weekend? I can't remember. But last air show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah, there's just so many. Who was on the West Coast? Because I know mostly East Coast people.
In terms of legends? Chambliss.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, you got Sean Tucker. Although not really a competitive.
I wouldn't say. I don't think he would come. Nothing against that, but he's just not. He was always. It's just. I don't think he's really into. He hasn't been into the Rusty stuff, even though he's phenomenal at it. I mean, he won Advanced Nationals. So
yeah, yeah. No, but it's been so long for him doing anything competitive. Yeah. Kirby Chambliss.
Yeah.
You know, get him back. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I'm just having. I play in an adult soccer league, which is sounds so dumb. When I say it, I'm like, that's the dumbest sentence ever. And so I played last night, and then I was so like jittery and jumpy. I woke up at like 3:30 this morning. And I like couldn't go back to bed, so like my brain is fog. Why can't I think of his name? Oh my god! I flew the AOL online extra. Rocky Hill. Thank you. Get Rocky Hill.
Matt Morrissey would be great to get.
Mm-hmm. Legend. That's a legend.
Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah. And you know who'd be great to get to give like not mentorship, but just to get out there and hang out and talk around with Gene Soucy.
Oh yeah. Gene would be awesome. Gene's a legend, man.
Another guy. I think I'm gonna follow through this week with the internship. That person will schedule us. And I think we'll be good.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. You know, another not necessarily for competition stuff, but just legend in general. Bill Stein, West Coast guy.
Oh, he's totally a legend. He won. I think he won. Did he win Unlimited? I'm so sorry if
I don't know if it was Unlimited.
I know he definitely won Advanced or Unlimited.
I think it was Advanced. I got to look it up. But that's been a long time. And he hasn't really flown. His air show routine's great. But there's a ton, dude. Ben Freelove. Fuck out of here. Get Ben Freelove.
Oh, God.
He's not like a. I don't know that I put him in like the legend category, like the others, but a phenomenal West Coast, a guy that could have if he wanted to. He, you know, talking about making the categories harder, or you know, actually scratch that. It's not even about making the categories harder or what it's become, but just in general, looking at life balance and goals, right? He's somebody that was right there and could have just. You know, he had one foot on the path to.
We got to get him on. We got to talk.
Yeah, he's amazing. No, he really was one foot away from being one of the greats. In the, you know, it easily could have made the Unlimited team. He's a phenomenal pilot, and then just decided, you know, hey, I have life goals that don't coincide with doing that. You know, and kind of
who knows
made that conscious change. You know, but phenomenal pilot. Phenomenal pilot.
I would really like to see. I got to be honest. I would really like to see Patty fly a Rusty.
Me too. I wonder. I know she coaches a lot. She, you know, she mentors a lot of people.
The Rusty or air show though.
I think a Rusty. I mean, I know Luke's gone to her.
Oh, cool.
There's a few others that I can't remember if Luke Penner. I think Luke goes to her. Okay. Now, granted, I think Luke is probably potentially eyeing some airshow stuff down the road, but I don't know how much Oresti she flies. And to be frank, I've seen snippets of her routine at air shows. It doesn't look super Oresti to me. It looks very airshow flowy to me. It's a good routine, but just it's not like, you know, Gulian and Rob fly very Oresti style airshow routines. And hers is not quite like that, but you know, she ain't no slouch. You know, former national champion, she could definitely if she had rust, shake the rust off and bring it.
Yeah. No, totally.
Especially in the SC. She hasn't, that's another thing, is she hasn't had an SC for a long time, you know. So she was flying the LX and then the S and then now back to the SC. So yeah, maybe her routine will change a little bit.
Yeah. So our next guest is gonna be Shad Coulson, which I'm excited about. I got nationals in my head.
We're in talks. It might have to be next week. He actually messaged me like while we started the podcast and had a meeting up tonight. So we'll get him on for next week.
No worries.
But yeah. There's just so many people we need to get on.
Yeah. I think this intern's going to really work out well. Or maybe we'll hire two. Who knows? Who knows what we're going to do?
Get a whole staff of interns for Michael Shit to do nothing.
Exactly. But all right, so we got some contests coming up this weekend. Lone Star Aerobatic Championship in Texas. That is May 10th. This is going to be a really fun one. The next one's IAC3 down in Believer's place at Lee Hubner's. The Mark Fullerton Memorial Bear Creek Bash. That is May 17th. That's in the southeast at Romeo Mike Golf. And let me click on that link a little bit. Thursday, May 16th is practice. Then 17th, 18th, 19th, rain date. They have pizza. So definitely worth it.
Shit, then, I might have to go out there.
We'll just do May. May 31st is the Harold Newman Barnstormer. That's run by Johnny O. And nice. That is going to be contest dates, May 31st to June 1st. Primary Sportsman Intermediate Unlimited. That's in Ottawa, Kansas, at Oscar Whiskey India. So
I'd like to get him on the podcast because he'd be a great person to ask. Not to derail off the contest schedule, because I think there's a couple more to announce for May. But I fly this particular airplane. I kind of know where it fits. Maybe I peel back from going to nationals and I stick to focusing on regionals, which is not, there's nothing wrong with focusing on regionals either.
What's the mission?
Yeah.
You know, what's the goal? It's whatever you want it to be. I mean, where do you, you want it to be, you want it to be a job, or you want, is it a hobby? Is it, do you want to win nationals? Like what can you allow for time? What's your budget? And I think once you throw these things into your, into the calculation, the decision will be pretty easy on what you can do at that point. And then if you want to do something more,
figure it out.
A credit card or something.
Break out the right. Amex.
Exactly. West Coast. A lot of cool airplanes. I'm hoping that they come to nationals. I'd love to meet all those guys in person, especially Oscar Coates. Love to meet him.
Yep.
What's the guy's name? I saw something pop up with him, and he got the Rick Volker's Sukhoi 26. I want to get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Brooks Mr. something.
Boulder pilot.
Brooks something. Seems like a really cool dude. So all that stuff. And
I wonder if Joey Bowflex. I gotta ask him if he's planning on going to nationals. I don't know if he is or not.
I think I don't see why he wouldn't.
I don't see why he wouldn't either, especially, you know, he's he's got a lot of critique days under his belt with the Game Bird. I know he's got over 100 hours in that thing already.
A lot of time in it.
He's got what, a couple contests under the belt, I think, in it. He will by then. I think he did Borrego. I don't know if he did anything before that with that airplane. I think Borrego's his first, and then Tracy coming up at the end of May will be a second.
Oh, that's the North Cal aerobatic contest, right?
Yeah.
That is, looks like Dave Watson's got that submitted, Tracy Airport.
Yep.
And then the 31st to the 1st, all categories. Yeah, so it should be fun.
That brings out a great selection, too. You have some really, really good pilots that come out from up and down the West Coast.
Yeah.
All the Arizona guys will come out, hopefully. Hopefully Alex Huey and Eric Moore come out.
I'm going to try to do the Green Mountain. I'm not sure when that is. I'm going to look that up later.
When you get to your level, do you like do you guys, you know, because, you know, we talked about this a little bit. Rob, you know, does not do a regional contest. He does nationals and then it's go time, basically.
Right.
Do you guys miss regional contests?
You know, I like, it depends. I mean, that's a really good question. Because nationals was so much fun. So it was better than a regional, but it's also, you know, we
but can it's so different.
Two, yeah, it's so different. Regional contests are fun when you know everybody. I've seen people, you know, show up and they don't know anybody. So, you know, it takes a little bit to become friends with everybody. So, but once you know everybody, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when you can fly good. And I think it depends on the contest. Like, you know, the Southeast Florida, the one we were talking about last time, Sebring.
Yeah.
Like, that's epic. It's absolutely epic. The contest that I like in Green Mountain in Vermont, it's like in a within mountains and stuff. It's pretty cool. And everybody's super nice there. It's a lot of fun. So that's fun. And I think it's fun when you know your sequences. You know, it's a little, I wouldn't say not stressful because it's good stress. But it's a little bit much when you're not as experienced or you're not, you know, still learning a category. So, you know, it's all, I think it's all, I guess, mentality of how you're going to approach it, what you want out of it.
Sure.
You know, cause it's hard to be very competitive, but also say like, okay, like this is still a hobby. You know, I have other things in my life that, are a priority, obviously, you know,
well, and so, this isn't like, yeah, a knock, but like for somebody like you or anybody that's on like an advanced or unlimited team, maybe unlimited, a little more so, you're really looking through a regional contest to get to nationals and to WAC.
Yeah. Like experience thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost like a means to an end, I guess, you know, it's shaking rust off and practicing.
I think it's fun to, you know, spread the word of the Lord, you know, about nationals, get people, because, you know, it's a trip to go to nationals a lot. There's some people that I see at the contest that are at nationals, which is fun, but, yeah. Hopefully, you know, it's fun bringing out because there's usually not too many SCs or single place, you know, monoplanes there. So it's fun for people to get a look at it and sit in it and stuff and maybe buy one eventually, or, you know, talk to the youth, get them inspired, and also help out a little bit with critiquing on a practice day. And it's good networking. I mean, we talked about that many times over about how you meet just phenomenal people and your network grows within,
yeah,
you know, knowing people in the sport and, tremendously. So I'm looking forward to the regional. It's good mental work, mental prep, and you get to fly in a box, judges, all that crap. It's good.
Win-win.
Win-win.
Speaking of Gamebird showing up to nationals and contests, can we talk about how MSU was gifted a brand new GB1.
Was it gifted?
It was donated.
So cool.
Why? I don't know if Gamebird donated it or if donors purchased the airplane. You know, Philip's son does go to MSU, so you can do whatever you want with that information. But
I didn't know that part.
And you know what? It doesn't even matter. The fact that MSU has a Gamebird, an NG, an S2C, and Super Decathlon at its or an Extreme Decathlon, right? At its disposal is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. God.
And that means we're going to see a Gamebird at Nationals.
Yes. I saw pictures of it. And it looks like they made like a special sighting device for it too. Do you see that part?
Yep. It's so different from the standard sighting device. Yeah.
You know, maybe that's God telling us that we got to hire Tian as our intern because he's a MSU guy.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll just, maybe that's what we'll.
And you know what? If he can manage to get us a little stick time in the backseat of that GB1, maybe that'll sweeten the choice. Mm. You know, maybe that'll sweeten the deal a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through Facebook right now. Did you see that Yak 55? That somebody bought for like $4.
The purple and yellow one, yeah. Dude, there's some part of me. I saw that. I'm like, you know, there's a little bit where I'm like, I'd change the oil in that thing. Put fresh gas in it and just try to fly it. I'm so dumb.
For 7K, how do you go wrong?
No, it's like that's so cool. The freaking paddle prop on it still.
Yeah, it looks like something out of a cartoon. It's hysterical.
It looks absolutely pretty.
I like it, but
it looks like what a kid would draw an airplane because the Yak 55 is already a hideous looking airplane. It looks like a paper towel roll with a wing on it and a tail. And then you make it purple and yellow. You're like, oh, this is what a 5-year-old would think an airplane looks like.
It's cheaper than an RC Yak 55. Some of these RC Yak 55s
that's true.
Are more expensive than that. I just thought of that.
You get a 50%.
I'm not even kidding.
Yak 55. No, absolutely. Some of those with like those like, forgot who makes those little RC radial engines, but you throw like those 30cc radial engines in it. And by the time you get all the equipment, you're 20 grand.
How is this not worth seven? This makes no sense, but it's true. I mean, it seems like it's very true. Nobody's really fucking around with it, but I'm making a joke. I mean, but I wish it was near me. I would have bought it.
I would have bought it. Absolutely. Like I would have bought it probably sight unseen if I saw that picture and they're like $7,000, take it or leave it. I'd be like, you know what? Screw it.
I would buy it just to taxi it around, even if it wasn't airworthy.
Yeah. I just fire it up.
Yeah.
Just a little M14P action.
Yeah.
I like yaks, man. I want to fly a 55. It'd be fun.
Yeah. I got to talk to somebody. I heard they're like, they're babies, like in a good way.
Yeah. That's what I've heard too.
Yeah.
Kind of designed for somebody to like, just to hop in and go. I mean, they had the 54s to kind of teach, dual, but like that didn't really come to fruition like I think the Russians had hoped. I think most people just hopped in those things and went.
Yeah. I'm looking online right now. There's a 1992 Yak 55 that has 40 hours. Let's see if you can let's play the prices right.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you everything.
Okay.
92 Yak 55M estate sale. 40 hours total. Yeah. 40 hours total time on the airframe and engine. Completely original with accessories, stored for 25 years. Spare engine also available. So not included. It's located in Oregon. So not near any salt water, it seems.
And it hasn't flown in 25 years?
Stored 25 years. I would assume, yes. Especially with 40 hours total time.
Is it assembled? Or is it like parts?
I would assume assembled. So it's assembled.
Okay. It's assembled, 92, 40 hours total time, engine and airframe, but hasn't flown. I'm going to go with it. The spare engine's available, but not included.
Very low time. Keep that in mind.
I'm going to go 62,000.
$40,000.
Okay. That's you know what? And think about it.
There's some movement in there. There's probably some movement in that number.
You throw 38 or 35, you know, cash on the table.
Show up with a brown bag.
Yeah.
35 cash.
100%. One of those cartoon bags that have the dollar sign on it.
Oh, when is this? Maybe I'll. May 8th it was posted. What's today? It's the 9th. I'm going to give him a call.
FCS. And honestly, think about if you had to put 40 grand into that airplane. This is why the Pitts is dead. Okay. Think about if you bought that airplane, right? And you still had to put $40,000 in that airplane. You have an $80,000 advanced competitor airplane. Unlimited too, sure, but like, you know, maybe more suited towards advanced at this point for 80 grand.
Right.
Why wouldn't you do that?
I don't even think you need to throw 40 at it.
No, you. I think that's what I'm saying.
Obviously, like, all the rubber would be dried out. You'd have to do the hoses, all that shit. But
I think I'd send the motor to Richard Good, you know, to like do a teardown and rebuild, right? You know, get all the seals in the engine changed. You know, probably change like control cables. Like I don't know if those are galvanized or not. Those might be rusted, bell cranks and stuff like that. But like, you throw some new brake pads on there, new tires and tubes. Let's call it 20 grand for the engine, because it's a good engine. You're just, you know, replacing rings and seals and making sure there's no rust and rehoning and slapping that back together. And then, you know what, while we're there, just let's pay another 20 grand for an MT. Let's throw an MT three blade on there. Get rid of the paddle, and that's a sick airplane for less than 80.
I just sent it to maybe somebody 80. Who I'm going to make an offer and go partners with it on.
Yes. Dude, there's just something so cool about firing up an M14P.
Right? The knocking, the cylinders being loose. I love
it, man.
The negative four compression.
Yeah. No, it's a trip, man. It seems like yesterday you could order those from a Cracker Jack box and it came in crates and you just slapped it together for no money. And you had this unlimited airplane.
Yeah. Yeah.
But wild times. Now you need $500,000 for an unlimited airplane.
Oh, dude. Do you see the new NGs?
Do you think they're going to be $700,000 in 2025? Are they already seven?
Dude, hold on. Don't forget, some states you got to pay taxes and VAT on this shit.
Hurts my heart.
I want to say I saw it for $649 what is the dealer out west?
Oh, oh my God. It starts with a C. It's right on. I'm sorry.
Chad Graves. Chad.
Jesus.
Chad.
I did not get enough sleep last night.
Yeah. Maybe it was on controller. I know Gamebird raised their prices too.
Yeah.
Extra aircraft. Apply filter. Yes, 2020. Gosh, a 22. This is not even a dealer. 86 hours total time. 2022 NG, 648,000.
648.
2022, 49 hours. Chad Graves, 609,900. So 610,000. Where was the other one? There's another NG for sale in here somewhere. It was 2024. Yeah. Oh gosh, 2024 NG total time. So brand new NG, 5 hours. This is the one that Chad's listing. 689, 690, 690,000.
690
plus tax.
2024 extra SX is 549.
So what's VAT?
I'm assuming that's base.
15% usually, roughly.
I don't know.
Like in Europe, if you're a European buyer?
That's a good question. I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, I know Canada's got some crazy, crazy percentage on their shit too.
Mm-hmm.
What's the VAT in Canada? So like 649. Let me get my little accountant going on here. 690 times VAT in Canada. It says 5% here. I don't know how accurate, but I'll just do it anyway. So that's an extra 34.5 on that plane. Wow. So plus 690. So you're at 7.25.
You're there. Uh-huh.
7.25. Jeez.
Yikes. Meanwhile, Doug Beta's selling a pretty nice 99-300L for 275. It looks nice.
Yeah. It's going to raise the used market for anybody with a used extra. You're in a good
Absolutely.
Spot.
Yeah.
You know, midwings went up. Midwings used to get 140, 150 every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes 135. Now it's like, I don't think you can touch a midwing for under 160.
And that, I mean, yeah.
And that's a kind of ratty one, right?
Yeah. I think you're almost touching two.
Yeah. For a good one.
Yeah.
A great one. I think you're every bit at 2.25, 240. But, yeah. Yeah. The ratty ones used to like, you couldn't give them away. Now, forget about
it. I mean, dude, look at it. I mean, Freeman is selling his LX for $379. It's literally at, oh, you know what? Never mind. Disregard. It comes with a fresh annual and 1,000 hour, but it's $975 total time.
Yeah, the motor's shot.
Yeah. I'd be concerned about that motor.
I mean, I'm sure you get another couple hundred hours out of it because it's a lot of it probably cross country with the air shows and stuff, but.
You could probably IRAN it too and be just fine, honestly. Yeah,
it's still a gamble.
You know, still a gamble.
1,000 hours.
I think Freeman takes good care of his stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just the aerobatics are hard on it. But I think it's probably got a lot of cross country. I wouldn't be surprised if more than half of that was cross country.
Oh, yeah. Because he travels all over the place with that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Before we wrap up, we got to talk about Olivier.
Yes.
Olivier Mazarel.
That sucks, man.
I couldn't believe the news. Everybody knows by now, but he passed away I guess in the extra. I don't know the full details, but just know that he hit a vulture at some point while flying. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it was in the extra.
From what I understand, he was flying back from an air show on the coast in Spain. And he was with, he was flying from the report I read. There was somebody, you know, there's two pilots flying back together. Can just go online and you'll figure it out really quick. And that's how it's known that it was a bird strike. Cause I was wondering too, I'm like, how would, if he was just flying over the countryside, flying back on a cross country, you know, to his home airport, how the hell would anybody know it? Cause there's, if you see the pictures, there's nothing left of the airplane.
No, it's nothing.
But there was somebody, they were tagging along together and I guess that person saw it. Vulture went right through the canopy. Fucking sucks, man. He was
terrible.
Yeah. I was speaking to him on my phone cause I sent them out, one of those canopy covers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's such a bummer. Phenomenal pilot. And phenomenal coach and friend, you know, to a lot of people in the U.S. You know, it's not often you get like French and Spanish crossover to the United States to be kind of a staple, right? You have a few. You have Francois, you have Coco, and you got some Russians out there that come over and you know coach and teach and critique and things like that, but. You know, he was a real friend to a lot of people, you know, I think it's just really sad, really sad. Great guy, really friendly guy. He was phenomenal on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so funny. just fucking sucks, man. Especially like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, 42 years old, really bummed out. And you know, and he was a unique case, you know, both a Spanish and French national.
Yeah.
So you know, a unique pilot, unique unlimited pilot, very talented,
great coach.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, thoughts go out to his family.
So sorry. What still else shocking, to be honest with you.
I know. No, this is, you know, and that's the thing. We're here. We're in May. We're just approaching halfway through the year. And, you know, everybody that's in this sport is already kind of used to getting a text a time or two a year, right? Of, hey, you know, I got some news, or hey, this just happened. And it was just, that's just a huge bummer to get the text about somebody, about anybody. But yeah. Even worse that it was like, you know, it's just a freak accident.
I know. But I mean, yeah, the outpouring online, he was definitely loved by a lot of people. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, these are the kind of times when tragedy strikes, you really see, the impact somebody had on others. And yeah, he was just absolutely universally well-liked and adored by a lot of people. So super sad. We'll dedicate this episode to him. Blue skies. That's a huge bummer. What else? Is there anything else?
No, not much. I mean,
I think we just crushed an hour and some change.
Yeah, I think we did. And then we get Shad Colston coming on. So be good.
Get Shad on next week. Talk about Nationals. We got a few others in the pipeline to come on and chat it up. And yeah, I didn't even talk about it. My airplane's an annual right now, and hopefully that's back up. But
nice.
And it's going fine. A couple little things here and there.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that next week.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about it next week. Thank you to Lyft Aviation for supporting the podcast. Go show them some love. www.liftaviationusa.com. Use the promo code FlyCoolShit at checkout for 25% off most items. That coupon code's coming, guys. Coming real soon. So keep your eyes peeled for helmets. Helmet coupon. Thank you to Fly Good Merch. Go to flygoodmerch.com. Use the promo code ACRO for 10% off. Oh, you know what? Before we sign off, we had somebody guess the correct amount of MX aircraft the episode before Marco's. It was 4. A lot of people don't know that he actually had an off-field, it was on airport, but closed airport emergency landing, and lost his MX to that, which is how he has his current MX. But it was 4. I got a lot of guesses for 3, but it's actually 4. What are we doing for the next one?
Ooh, gosh, put me on the spot
again. Easy. We gotta make it, you know, I don't know, Googleable or gettable.
Okay. Are we going like something about somebody famous? Is that the road we're going?
I mean, I don't know. What could we do with Rob? What could be? Because we have 2 more coupon codes to give away with Rob.
Okay. Yeah. So we got to do Rob related.
It's Rob related. Totally.
Yeah. I don't want to make it too difficult.
How about how many air shows does he do a year? Is that too easy?
That's a little too easy. I want to make it fun and good. Do we do instrument? No, everybody knows he's ripping the guitar.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. I mean, I could think of some ones that nobody, not many people will know, but it's, you know, inner circle stuff. a lot of it's. Oh, maybe we can ask something about the jet teams he's flown with.
Okay. How many times has he flown formation with the Blue Angels and Thunderbirds?
How many military jets has he flown in? Because that you can go on YouTube and do some deep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that's easy. Well, easier.
All right. How many military... Do we want to do jets or aircraft? Because he's flown in, like, you know, C-130s.
Yeah, we'll do jets. This way it's easier. Okay,
jets. All right.
How many jets?
How many jets has Rob Holland flown in? Shoot us the answer, email, text, call, fax, Morse code. Let us know. Go buy some Fly Cool Shit shirts, flycoolshit.com/merch. And we will talk to y'all next week.
Later.